We've been doing a series of lessons, studies on midnight Bible stories, and there's a lot of them in Scripture. And we've been bouncing back and forth between New Testament and Old Testament midnight Bible stories, and we just finished the midnight Bible story of Gideon and his 300. And those of you that want to review the notes, they're online now on the website under studies, I guess, Thai Sunday School or something. At any rate, you can play around with it and find it and reread it, and you can re-listen to them for a while, I think. Any rate, we said last week we were going to do another one from the 12th chapter of Acts, a midnight Bible story, and I encouraged you to read the chapter and to Grace and Glory study book from Brother Copley on the 12th chapter of Acts. And interestingly, we won't get to the 12th chapter of Acts today. But I would like you to become familiar with it. We did a lot of background on Gideon before we got to the time when he led the troops, the 300, if you want to call them troops. We're going to do a little background on Peter. I think we're all familiar with some things about Peter, but it would do us really good to understand where Peter came from when we get to the 12th chapter of Acts, and some of his background and why it was that he was there. And we see quite a bit of changes in Peter in the 12th chapter of Acts than we do even in the gospel records. The gospel records are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Peter's name, we'll start off with that, his name means a stone. And there's a lot of threes associated with Peter. He has three names in Scripture. And Peter is the first one, means a stone. The second one is Simon. Simon means hearkening. And then he's called Simon, called Peter, in Matthew 4:18. And he's called Simon Barjona in Matthew 16:17. That word bar is means son or son of Jonah. Okay? Simon Barjona. Simon Barjona means the hearkening son of a dove. That's interesting, isn't it? Turn to Matthew 16, and we'll start in verse 13, and we'll read this. And it says in Matthew 16:13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. There's a third name we find for Peter in Scripture, and that is Cephas. Go to John 1:40, and we'll start there and we'll read three verses. Here again, we're introducing Peter, who he is, who he's called. We're finding some of the meanings of his names. And John 1:40. One of the two which heard John speak, this would be John the Baptist, and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, Simon bar Jonah, Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now, I found it very interesting as I always look at these things and study them out a little bit. That this is the only time in the four gospel records of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where Peter is called Cephas. And yet Jesus says, Thou shalt be called Cephas. Now, Paul, in his gospel records, he calls Peter by the name of Cephas five times. And Paul also five times refers to him as Peter. So you can call Peter by a lot of different names, three of them at least. He knew who he was talking about, Peter. And we'll get into this more as we go into our study on Peter. But there are a lot of threes associated with Peter besides his three different names. And we'll make a note of these things as we progress. It's very interesting. Now, before we read of Peter in Scripture, he was a fisherman. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a disciple of Jesus. He was a fisherman. That was what he did. That was how he made his living. And both Matthew 4:18, that's Matthew 4:18, and Mark 1:16, they almost read the same. They both introduce Peter and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. They were fishermen. I thought it very interesting to note, and we'll go over this. In Scripture, we never find Peter catching any fish without the aid of Jesus. And yet he was a fisherman. How good was he? Not very good without the aid of Jesus. How good are you without the aid of Jesus? You know, I was a pilot. I flew airplanes for Continental Airlines for years. But I'm a firm believer if God wanted us to fly, he'd give us wings. So I'm probably out of my environment being up in the air like that. So I better be praying. You know, I told James, and he'd tell people, well, do you ever pray when you're up in the airplane? He says, oh, yeah, you're a lot closer to God up there, you know. Well, not really. But I prayed going to the airport. I prayed going through security. I prayed getting on the airplane. I prayed for myself and everybody that I was going to be in touch with. I prayed before I took off. I prayed before I landed. So did everybody in the back of the plane, I think. You know how that works. You know, you see people, they're doing everything back there when it comes time to land, you know, and when the pilot's voice comes on, I just want you to know we got a little problem here, but everything's okay. Then they really get close to the Lord there for a few minutes. That works for me too. You know, I was up there. One lady one time when I was sitting in the back of the airplane, she says, what's the scariest thing that ever happened to you in the airplane? I says, do you really want to know? And she said, no. I says, okay, I won't tell you. So we're nothing without Jesus. And we can't do our job without Jesus. And no wonder we don't read of Peter catching the fish without the aid of Jesus. There's a lot of lesson to be learned there. In Matthew 8:14, you don't have to turn here. You can just make notes of these things. Matthew 8:14 and Mark 1:29 and in Luke 4:38, we all find that Peter had a house. How could he afford a house? He couldn't catch fish. Well, obviously he could catch fish, right? Mm-hmm. We find in Luke 5:3, and we'll talk some more from Luke 5 today, we find that Peter had a ship, a fishing boat. They called it a ship. Well, you'd have to have some success as a fisherman to afford a fishing ship, wouldn't he? But again, we never read of Peter catching any fish in Scripture without the help of Jesus. And in Luke 5:5, we read that Peter told Jesus, Master, we have toiled all the night and taken nothing. He was out fishing at night. Wow, that's a good time to go fishing. If you're a fisherman, he knew that. And so that was a sleepless midnight Bible story with an empty feeling by the light of day, wasn't it? But all of our midnight Bible stories end on a positive note. And this story will end that way too. Because Jesus changed everything for Peter. And we're going to discuss some of the treasures in Luke 5 in a little bit here. And there was another time we read of Peter going fishing and not catching anything, and that was after Jesus' death and resurrection in John 21. And Peter might have been a little discouraged, and he returned to fishing. Go to John 21. We'll read a few verses, and we'll discuss this further if the Lord tarries in future Sunday school lessons. But it says in John 21, starting in verse 2, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas and Didymus and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. And doing the math here, if you study this out a little bit, you will find seven disciples of Jesus going fishing, and Peter was their leader. Because it says in verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing, and they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. What did you expect? They left somebody out. And so is another time we find that Peter had fished all night and caught nothing on his own. But the story of John 21 concludes with Jesus once again coming on the scene and changing everything for the positive, and changed everything for our benefit too. So these midnight Bible stories are worthwhile. Now, following Jesus' instructions, Peter caught a lot of fish, but he had to follow Jesus' instructions. Go to Matthew 17 for a minute. We find in Scripture Peter catching fish with the net, and we find Peter caught fish with the hook when he did what Jesus instructed him to do. And we read this in Matthew 17:27. And here we find the story of Jesus giving these instructions to Peter about how to catch a fish to pay taxes, tribute money. It says there in Matthew 17:27, this is Jesus speaking, "Go thou to the sea and cast in a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me in thee." You think Peter had any trouble doing this? By faith, Peter did this. Okay. Now, go back to Luke 5. We're going to read a few verses, 1 through 11, and then we're going to talk about it. We read in this chapter how Jesus enabled Peter to catch so many fish that his boat nearly sank. Now, what'd Peter do with the fish? Sold them, made money with them. But if they're going to sink the boat, that's going to cost him some money. But it didn't happen that way. Jesus knew it wouldn't happen that way. He was teaching Peter some lessons. And we're going to learn some of these lessons. And one of the lessons, launch out into the deep. We launch out into the deep quite a bit here. Launch out into the depths of Scripture. Why do you think it took 2 years to go through Hebrews 1 and 2? There's a lot of depth there. That was launching out into the deep. I remember 7 months in Scott's class going over Proverbs 31. That was launching out into the deep. Okay, that was just a freebie. That wasn't in the notes. Okay, in Luke 5:1, and it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him," upon Jesus, "to what? Hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." That's what they did after fishing and straightening up things. And Jesus entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, that's Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Who was in the ship with him? Peter. "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." That's a plural net, if you didn't get it. "And Simon answering and said unto him, Master," I want you to know something here. I'm an expert on this lake. I've been out here a lot. And we were out here last night fishing, and we didn't catch anything. We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, his name means hearkening. He didn't hear so well, did he? Maybe the battery was low on his hearing aids. I don't know. But he was told to let down the nets, and he said, "I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. Well, duh. If they had done what he was told to do, this wouldn't have probably happened. "And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink." When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Oh, you know, the Lord knows we're sinful men. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he knows who we are. He knows our frame, doesn't he? It says, because in verse 9, "For he," Peter, "was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They followed Jesus. They forsook all their fishing and followed Jesus. I can't tell you how many untold number of sermons are hidden in these verses from Luke 5 that we just read. And there are plenty of thoughts left here for us all to ponder. But I don't want to just pass over this lightly either. We've hit a few points already. But this is a rich portion of Scripture. And we want to hit the highlights here because it helps introduce Peter. And this will help enrich what we're going to find in our midnight Bible story of Peter in Acts 12. This portion we just read in Luke 5, 1 through 11, it really gives a brief snapshot of Peter's life, both before meeting Christ and after. Before Peter met the Lord, he was a fisherman, as we noted, but he was a more successful fisherman after meeting the Lord. And we also noted that. In the end, after Jesus' death and resurrection, after the day of Pentecost, when Peter was filled with the mighty power of the Holy Ghost, Peter was prominent among Jesus' disciples as a fisher of men, just like Jesus told him he would be. There are three records in Scripture showing that Jesus told Peter he would make him a fisher of men. Remember I said there's a lot of threes associated with Peter? Well, that's one of them. In Luke 5:10, we read that Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." In Matthew 4:18, we read, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." The third account of this very same thing is found in Mark 1:16, which says this, "Now as he," Jesus, "walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Now let's go back to Luke 5, and let's look at the first three verses again. And it says here, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him," the him being Jesus, "to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." Note here that the people were pressing upon Jesus, wishing to hear the word of God. But Jesus is the word of God. So imagine what it would be like to hear the word of God from the word of God. Well, don't think you have to imagine too much because we hear that when he speaks to your heart a lot when you read the Word of God. But go to quickly to Luke 24. And we'll go to verse 32. There we find the disciples who met Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And they probably expressed it the best, what it was like to hear the Word of God from the Word of God. And as they finally realized that they had heard the Word of God from the Word of God himself, they had to say this in Luke 24:32. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Now let's go back to Luke 5. Put yourself in Peter's ship here for a moment. Be Peter for a moment. Peter got to hear every word that Jesus spoke as he taught the people out of the ship. That was his ship. He taught the people out of the ship. Well, those words had to prick his heart too. Didn't his heart burn within him as he heard the Word of God proclaim the Word of God? Sure it did. Over the next 3+ years, Peter was taught a lot of lessons from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's taught a lot of lessons out of the ship. There are 25 references to the ship, those two words, in the 4 gospel records. 25 references to the ship. 25 is the number pointing to the forgiveness of sins. What do you think Jesus was teaching out of the ship? That was one of the things, forgiveness of sins. 25 is the product of 5 times 5. You all know that. Grace times grace. For by grace are ye saved, Paul writes in Ephesians 2:8. You all familiar with John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 25 words. Count them. The number pointing to the forgiveness of sins. Now, we never told if Peter or John painted names on the backs of their ships. But the names Grace and Truth would have been very appropriate, wouldn't they? The Apostle Paul wrote in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. John 1:17, he adds this, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. A lot of grace and truths was taught by Jesus as he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, as we continue in Luke 5, we find our first conversation between Jesus and Peter, who Jesus here addresses as Simon. Again, Simon means hearkening. They were on Lake Gennesaret. Lake Gennesaret means harps. So what we find here is the words Jesus spoke were beautiful music to those with hearkening ears of hearing. And as we read here in verses 4 and 5 of Luke 5, we find that Peter hearkened to the words that Jesus spoken to him. Well, he hearkened to him, kind of, sort of, but not exactly completely. In Luke 5:4, it says, now when he had left speaking, Jesus, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering and said unto him, Master, We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You can kind of feel and hear the discouragement in his voice and maybe a little bit of encouragement that I'm not going to go against what you got to say, but, you know, it's kind of like wasting my time here, you know. How does he feeling? Let's look at these verses a little closer. Jesus told Peter to launch out into the deep. Jesus was thus instructing Peter to thrust out into deeper water. Water figures the word of God. And as such, Jesus was teaching Peter a lesson. He was also showing Peter some deeper truths which he needed to learn in order to become the fisher of men that Jesus called him to be. And it took Peter a good long while and being filled with the Holy Ghost before Peter could more fully appreciate the deeper truths he was here shown by the Lord. In fact, Peter learned this lesson. It took him a while, but he learned it real well. There's in the concrete out in front of the church, a scripture etched, 2 Peter 3:18. We don't have all the words to it, but if you look it up, 2 Peter 3:18. It was written by Peter. This is one of his last things he said. And these words he left us are inspired of the Holy Ghost to encourage each of us to launch out into the deep. These words, 2 Peter 3:18, it says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." In fact, Peter spent the rest of his life launching out into the deep, if you will. And our apostle Paul, he wrote much about the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. And he said this in Ephesians 3:8, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." How much depth in that? A lot. It should be all of our privilege to launch out into the deep and probe the depths of the Word of God and to do this on our own. Our Apostle Paul, after he met Jesus, also spent the rest of his life launching out into the deep and learning the unsearchable riches of Christ. In our text of Luke 5, verses 4 and 5, we find that Peter did launch out into the deep, and then he sort of complained to Jesus, telling Jesus, "Master, we've toiled all the night and taken nothing." Well, Peter addressed Jesus as master here, meaning an appointee or a commander or a teacher. I don't think Peter quite grasped that Jesus is the master teacher. Maybe in a way Peter was going to say, "I'll show you, Lord. Jesus, I know a thing or two about fishing, so we'll just prove it to you here." Might have been going through his heart, might have been going through his mind a little bit, a thought like that. Because Peter was greatly disheartened by the lack of success during the midnight hours, and he must have felt it fruitless to proceed any further. And by the way, Jesus, we're professionals here. We're professional fishermen. And we know that the best time to catch fish is at night. Now it's daylight, you know. And besides that, we had labored hard through the night and are, in fact, quite fatigued and wearied out. And we haven't caught anything, so we're even discouraged on top of that. And that means we haven't made any money. Peter hadn't yet learned the lesson that Jesus was teaching, and which he'll later teach him in John 15:5, where he says, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." And this part is what Peter needed to know. "For without me, ye can do nothing." Yeah, he's going to learn that here real quick. Without Jesus, Peter and the others with him had caught nothing. And our Apostle Paul later wrote instructions that Peter could have used at this time. And we find this in Colossians 3:23-24. And I guess we'll not leave you in suspense. I'll read this. Colossians 3:23. "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Let's get a little better attitude going here, Peter. Okay, next time we'll pick up from there, Lord willing.